2, quarter number 2, and we're with you until 2. Matt Smith sitting in for Stoke. We are talking all things NCAA tournament. Games are underway. How's the bracket doing? What are the upsets you have today? Let us know on the text line 303-713-1043, powered by Ramos Law. And it's the RamosLaw.com text line. Matt, I want to talk about the Rams. I want to talk about their season coming to an end and then obviously what that means moving forward for Nico Medved. Nico is a great coach. He's been a name kind of rumored and whispered about for a bigger basketball school and a program and maybe gets the opportunity. Now the season's over. I mean, the roster is flipping, right? Every starter is going to be gone, basically. What do you think the future for Nico Medved is? How many opportunities will he have this summer? And then is that used as leverage to get a new deal from the Rams? Or is it onward and upward for Mr. Medved?
It's a good question, because last year he had an opportunity to leave. Okay? He did. And there were offers on the table from big schools. He rolled the dice to stay with Isaiah Stevens, mm-hmm. and he signed an extension. And I think it's through 2029, 2028, 2029. He signed that 2 years ago, or a year ago. So this is an interesting spot for Nico, because college basketball is quickly changing. Mm-hmm. Conference realignment is not only coming to college football, but it's coming to college basketball as well. And the Mountain West is going to play with Washington State and with Oregon State, you know, in football and in basketball for these next couple of years, because those are the two schools that were kind of left out in the wash from the Pac-12, you know, disbanding, really. So if I'm Nico, do I really think that CSU is going to be able to compete? Now, let's look at the actions of that athletic department. They fired their athletic director this year, unbeknownst to almost everybody, in yep. Joe Parker. And who do they hire? They hire the head of their NIL collective. And so the way NIL works, name, image, likeness, and I know that term is thrown around quite a bit, there are very few players that actually have NIL deals. Shedeur Sanders, Arch Manning, Caitlin Clark, your superstars get brand deals. NIL deals are essentially brand deals with somebody. Now, what is a collective? A collective is a pool of money mm-hmm. that everybody puts into, that a certain percentage of that is doled out to players.
Okay.
So every school has different regulations for their collectives, and every collective has different regulations. So when you talk about a player going to transfer, like even in Boulder, so let's just say LaJonte Wester, the kid they got from FAU, who was a 1,000-yard receiver in the transfer portal, he's not getting an NIL deal. He's getting money from a collective, okay. I imagine,
okay?
It's not an actual brand deal. Shedeur has a deal with Louis Vuitton and Mercedes and what have you, yeah. and all these other companies. Not the other kids. So when we throw around the term NIL, and the reason I want to illustrate this is because if you are not competing in that world right now, if you are not actively pushing that to make that one of the biggest focuses of your athletic department for a school like Colorado State, you are falling behind. And that was really allegedly what led to the ousting of Joe Parker, amongst other things, was he just never really fully embraced that. And for a school like Colorado State in the Mountain West, especially in this era of conference realignment, if you want to be relevant, mm-hmm. you got to have dollars to bring to the table in your collective. You're probably not getting NIL deals. Okay, maybe from, you know, Crazy Carl's up there, shout out.
Yeah,
you know,
place.
Something like that. But you're not getting big money from Apple or, you know, from okay. Gatorade or something like that. So that was why they made that change.
That's smart.
And if Nico's going to stay there, you got to have somebody that embraces that. Otherwise, he will be gone. So I think that was part of it. The number one priority for them is to keep him. I don't know. And that's going to come down to him. Let's just say a school in the Big 12 comes calling, West Virginia. I think that was who was knocking on the door last year. So if you're Nico, you're starting 5 seniors on that team. You've got to almost completely rebuild it.
Mm-hmm.
They got a couple of kids already committed for next year. But, man, I would think about it if I were him personally.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of the harsh reality of the business that is college sports. And when you're the CSU Rams, you get a guy like Nico. You nailed it. You hit a home run with the hire. And what he's been able to do with this, they were ranked 13th in basketball this year. Like, he has done a great job, but that's the American dream, right? Onward and upward, bigger job, better house, the market that I want to be in, all those things. And I'm not saying Nico doesn't want to be in this market, but there are things that those teams can do in bigger conferences, have that bigger NIL collective, that when the shift comes, it would be easier for him to recruit. I think it's a good problem to have, but it is still a big problem to have. And if I were Nico Medved and somebody came a-knocking, this would be the time. You hinted at this week already, Matt. Like, his stock is at an all-time high. As good of a coach as Nico Medved is, you can't guarantee that he's going to get the next class of Rams players to be 13th in the country or compete in the Mountain West the way that they had competed in the Mountain West over the last couple of seasons. So if you're Nico, you have to have those hard conversations. It's great to be a Ram. It's great to be bringing a basketball program to relevance for the first time ever, really. But you know, leverage is a beautiful thing, Matt, and he may never have it again the way he has it right now. And when you have leverage, folks, you use the heck out of it.
So he's making about 1.1, and it maxes out at 1.3 per year. They're going to have to find a way to come up with that number, would be my guess. You know, the interim coach who got hired at West Virginia, remember Bob Huggins had the beer cans. And the passenger seat, the floor of the car, and the trash bag. Sorry, what do you mean? There's just a couple of empties, officer. What's the problem here? Their interim guy made 1.5 over 10 months.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I would be surprised if they don't at least have to go to Nico with more money to get him to stay. Because otherwise, I mean, look, we're talking about $1 million. I mean, I'm not shaking a stick at that or turning my nose up to that. But no question. But there are ways to make more money and provide more comfortability for your family in other places. And if you're going to have to go through a total rebuild and you don't have the resources of another program, I could see Nico being like, you know what? Because let me ask you this. And nothing against CSU. Like I said, when they're not playing the Buffs, I'm actively rooting for the Rams. I live up in Boulder. I'll go up to Fort Collins every now and again for a game. I remember watching Gian Clavell and Emmanuel Ogbo and that whole team. You know, I follow Rams basketball. Excuse me. The point here is this. What's their ceiling as a program?
I mean, we just watched it.
Did we?
I think so.
Okay. So if that's the case, you probably move on to greener pastures. Mm-hmm.
Do you think there's a higher ceiling than what I'm seeing?
In today's world of college basketball, unless you are playing hot and heavy in the transfer portal and you can scout better than anybody, probably not.
Rams fans, what do you think? Nico gone, or will he stick around, rebuild this thing, retool, and get the Rams right back in the position that they were this year sooner rather than later? RamosLaw.com text line to answer it, 303-713-1043. We'll catch up a little bit right there on the text line, but I also want to go back to the Nuggets. We gave Michael Porter Jr. a ton of love. Now it's time for the Joker. He messed around, got a big-time triple-double, did so before the third quarter again. But there were some bench struggles. We're going to talk about that being a problem and just honor the greatness that Nikola was last night. Next.
Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents Stokely and Josh.
Last night we let the liquor talk. I can't remember everything we said, but we said it all. You told me that you wish I was.
Last night, Nikola did Nikola things. He had himself another triple-double. A 30-point triple-double, in fact. It's a triple-double before the third quarter. 45th time in his career he's messed around and achieved that before the fourth. Denver's 38-6 in those games. By the way, undefeated the last 12 triple-doubles that Nikola has had. He was outstanding. We're going to give him his flowers, and then we're going to chat about the bench because they're starting to fall back into some bad habits, Matt. But Nikola, the Sombor double at halftime, he was just an assist away from having the triple-double before the half even hit. He played great basketball. You talked about some of the highlight passes that he made. I mean, it's just, again, further evidence that he has eyes in the back of that head of his. He was brilliant last night. We take it for granted. Like I said, we looked at Michael Porter Jr.'s night and went, whoa, that's the headline right there. But Nikola Jokic is well on his way to his third MVP. Played 39 minutes, scored 30 points, grabbed 14 rebounds, dished out 11 assists, and had one turnover in those 39 minutes. Another beautiful brand of basketball from Joker.
He's now the overwhelming favorite to win the NBA MVP at minus 500. I mean, he was minus 260 last week.
Yeah.
It's a foregone conclusion that the third MVP trophy will be added to the stables out there in Sombor, okay? Because I'm sure they're not here. I was in the building the night he got his first one. They presented him his first one, which was cool. After that, it's obviously just as cool because it never loses any luster winning an MVP, right? That's the coolest individual thing you can do in sports, yeah. Right? So I find myself, I was on the phone with a good buddy of mine last night watching the end of the CSU game. I haven't talked to him in a while. We're sitting there talking, and I got the CSU game on one TV, and I got the Nuggets on the other one. And I'm just, you get spoiled when you watch the Denver Nuggets because then you watch college basketball, and you're just like, oh, my God. The product is just, and even coming from somebody who loves college basketball, we're a little spoiled here. The brand of basketball that the Nuggets play, it's so entertaining to watch. It's so selfless. All they care about is can we get the best shot available on this possession and winning games. That's it. And when you play like that, you sacrifice for the greater good, and it always comes back around. That's why you see in the starting lineup, at least, everybody eats. Everybody always eats, and everybody plays their role. Nobody complains. Like late in the fourth quarter, Michael Porter Jr. is making $30 million. Where is he mostly in the fourth quarter, Josh?
Well, it depends on where the Nuggets are, but
buried in the corner, typically, in their offensive sets. That's not
easy. Not running anything for him.
No. All of his shots he gets are in the flow of the offense, and he's taking better shots, which has always been the bugaboo, right? I mean, how about the Dallas game? Plays really well in that Dallas game. Then down the stretch, what, he missed like four or five threes in a row? And you're like, okay, Mike, like we know you shooting an open three is as good of a shot as any one of us outside of Jokic from point blank is going to get. Yeah. But we need you to do some different things. And I think that he's becoming more of a three-level scorer. And when you're a three-level scorer, you're really hard to defend, especially at his height. And he's becoming more of a willing defender.
Yeah, he is.
He's taking more pride on that side of the basketball. And those are the Nikola Jokic traits that I see wearing off.
I love what you said earlier about just playing with Nikola, because that your basketball brain will just expand, or evolve is the word we were talking about earlier, naturally, because you start to see, man, if I'm here when Nikola's on this part of the floor, he's going to find me the ball. If I back cut when he's at the elbow, he's going to find the ball. Like, he's going to find me with the ball. And there's those little simple rewards. I mean, we watched Bruce Brown turn a season of playing into Nikola into a $25 million bag because he understood what his role was in the time sharing the floor with Joker. Michael has now done that in the last 15 games or so, but it's still also the brilliance of Nikola to understand. And we talked about that text, and you see Nikola taking step by step, like almost yearly, another level of leadership, and that text was a big one. And I wonder, man, like Peyton Watson, he's certainly taken under his wing. Peyton's now one of the guys, it's like Peyton and a couple of other younger dudes that go with Joker and work out after the game, and they're there for an hour and 15 minutes, and you have to wait. Like, I wonder how much of that behind-the-scenes stuff we haven't seen between Nikola and Michael to get Michael to be where he is today.
The standard is the standard.
Yeah.
And if you're lagging, you can feel it. If you're getting paid $30 million a year and you got two games in the finals where you finish one with five and one with 2 points, you feel that. You feel like you let everybody down. And we talked about this, you know, in the offseason. Well, you're not going to bring back Bruce Brown. You're not going to bring back Jeff Green. Now you've got a situation where you've got some younger players you're going to need to be able to rely on come the playoffs in your second unit. But the way that you bridge the gap is you get more production out of the guys that you're paying. And in the finals, MPJ averaged 9.6 and 8.4 rebounds. Good job on the glass. We remember him getting on the floor occasionally, but he really couldn't score the basketball. And Bruce Brown was, in fact, their fourth leading scorer behind Murray, Jokic, and Gordon, okay? Well, now you don't have Bruce Brown, and now you don't have Jeff Green. So now you need somebody else in your starting lineup to be able to shoulder more of the load. So to close the gap and to fill in for the deficiencies that this roster has compared to last year's roster, Porter is the one who can do it by averaging 17 to 20 points a night in the playoffs and by bringing those 8 rebounds a game. That's how you go and you repeat again, stronger up front.
And we were talking about it earlier, like this version right now, who Joker, Jamal, and Michael Porter Jr. have been, and then you go Aaron Gordon and KCP are your defenders, and Aaron Gordon playing that short corner, the dunker spot is kind of what it's known as now. Like, that's beautiful. And they play that brand, and Michael is this guy. How does anybody in the world beat the Denver Nuggets four times in 2 weeks. It is, at this point, Matt, I believe it to be impossible.
As long as they're healthy. They've got to stay healthy. I liken it to this. Let's think of Jerry Jeudy, okay? One of the biggest knocks on Jerry Jeudy is when he's not the primary receiver, he doesn't try as hard, right?
Yeah.
You can always tell. He doesn't play the decoy well. He's not blocking well. Well, that's also because when he's supposed to be the primary receiver, he's never getting the ball, or at least not consistently enough to keep himself engaged. Now, that's a Jerry problem, because you've got to be able to fight through that stuff. But it's also harder to do it when there's nobody you can rely on. So for the Nuggets, for guys like Aaron Gordon and KCP and MPJ, it is really easy to want to move without the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you watch a lot of teams in the NBA, and it's mostly predicated on ISO scoring, one-on-one, king-of-the-court type action.
Yep.
Well, with the Nuggets, you know that if you move, he will find you. If you build it, he will come. And when you play with a guy like that, it is infectious. Now everybody wants to move, and the ball's popping around, and now, hey, great, you've got a wide-open look in the corner, KCP, for three, because there were five passes within a seven-second period. You know, it was Porter to Jokic, and Jokic to Porter, and Porter to Gordon, and Gordon to KCP.
Yeah.
That's a fun way to play.
Mm-hmm.
That's a really fun way to play. And in the NBA, a lot of times, you ask a lot of these NBA players, the way they play sucks. Look at the way the Lakers play.
Yeah.
They're to three-man action, and whoever, the other two guys on the floor are buried in the corner. It's LeBron, it's D'Lo, it's Reeves, and it's Davis.
Yeah.
Those are the four guys that touch the ball in that offense. Nobody else does. For the Nuggets, it's not like that, because if you make yourself a basketball player, if you get open and you work to get open, Jokic will find you. And if it's not Jokic, it'll be Murray.
Yep.
And if it's not Murray, it'll be Gordon. If it's not Gordon, it'll be Porter, because everybody knows the ball will eventually come back around.
You know how football teams do cheesy sayings at the beginning of the year, like iron sharpens iron and competitive way meets, you know, Try Hard Avenue or whatever Sean Payton did last year.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Remember he set the street corners? I always kind of think those are cheesy and dumb and kind of played out. And just, I get it, it's a way to sell merch. But you just came up with the greatest one I've ever heard. If you move, he will find you.
He will find you. Put it on a shirt.
Put that on the Nuggets shirt with the Cola's face and passing a basketball, and I'll buy 60 of those.
There you go.
You're pretty good with this marketing
thing. Pretty good with this marketing thing.
Figuring some stuff
out. Wait till you see what I've got for president of sports.
It's coming up in about 20 minutes from right now. We will make our pitches for president of sports, and then you get to vote and tell us who wins between Matt and I. All right, I actually want to keep this going because we didn't get to the Nuggets bench. It hasn't been good over a handful of games, and we're going to wonder if that's a problem moving into the postseason, or does the shortening of rotations take care of that issue? Plus, let's look ahead at the Avs finally being back at Ball Arena tonight. We'll do both coming up next.
It's Stokely and Josh on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Look at Kev practicing guitar back there. Just a quick peek behind the curtain. Kevin is looking for
love in 24.
Love in 24. The search for Mrs. Kistner 2024 is underway, and we were talking about guys that play guitar.
Chicks dig the guitar.
Of course they do. Yeah. I think Kevin's just when you go travel to Nashville to be a celebrity out there, he does that regularly. Pack your clothes in a guitar case and carry that thing around.
I think it's a good idea.
Do you have musical talent?
No. Well, during the pandemic, I took piano lessons because I just always thought it'd be cool to play the piano. So I might be able to get a little twinkle, twinkle, little star.
A little fairy lease.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
That's exactly right, dude. How about you?
Zero. Okay. Absolutely zero. I can mix a song, I can edit. Yeah. In the booth, I do all right. But outside of that, nothing.
Yeah, I mean, it's the pandemic. I had a lot of free time, so I signed up for piano lessons.
Always been super jealous of people with musical talent could just pick up an instrument and just rock out. I don't know if that's going to happen for Kiz. He might have to take up. We need a guitar and guitar lessons.
Yes, yes.
For Christmas.
Keith Urban's got a whole video.
Keith Urban.
Yeah,
you're the next Keith Urban, bud. Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly right.
Does anyone here have, Drew, do you have any music talent?
I can sing a little bit.
Oh, actually, we have heard Drew sing.
I can sing a little.
Yeah.
No, don't look at me like that, man. I'm not doing it right now. That's not happening. But,
I got a song on the radio. But.
Kevin actually wrote a song.
What is your genre?
That I can sing?
Mm-hmm.
Anything. Especially hip-hop.
Oh, anything.
Wow.
Anything. Yeah. I mean, especially, I'm a great rapper in the car.
Yeah.
I'm
really good in the shower. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
He's actually been called the songbird of his generation.
I've heard that, actually.
Once or twice.
I've heard that.
All right, 303-713-1043. You have any musical talent, let us know on the RamosLaw.com text line.
Or don't, because I'm jealous. So
yeah, it does. Yeah. Like with this hair, I should be
yourself,
able to do something.
In fact.
Like if I had this hair and a guitar.
You are qualified with that hair to hold a boom on a certain type of video shoot. That's what, that's what you're qualified to do. Okay? A very specific type of film.
I'm picking up what you're throwing down.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk a little Nuggets. That was good, Matt.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little Nuggets here as we were given the flowers that were due to Nikola after a 30-point triple-double. MVP is his. That thing is locked up. But I want to talk about the bench. Started to look at it and went back 6-7 games last night, Matt. In that timeline of 6-7 games, the bench have achieved 25 or more points one time. One time in that stretch. And that's just not good enough. I went and looked at some of the averages of NBA teams. I think it's the Bulls are the lowest scoring team off the bench, and it's like 26.9 a night. Denver hasn't even reached that more than once in the last 7 games. Now, I hear that, and I look at the numbers, and I go, is that an actual problem? Or because of rotations being cut down, because of how great this starting five is, and they're going to play 34 to 36, 37 minutes sometimes in the postseason, do I just need to get over the fact that the Denver Nuggets bench just isn't that good scoring right now?
All right, so let's dive into this a little bit here. They played well against the Spurs and the Raptors in the last 2 weeks or so. But those are lesser teams, right? Now, I thought against Miami, the second half, the bench really stepped up. I thought Christian Brown was excellent on the road in South Beach. He played. How we get Christian Brown to believe he's playing against the Miami Heat every night, I'm not sure. But we've got to find a way to do it.
Yeah.
I'm just going back and I'm looking at the playoffs, right? I mean, look, Josh, heading into the year, we knew that the Nuggets were going to have to rely on younger players in Peyton Watson and Christian Brown. The bit of a confusing one when we go back was they paid Reggie Jackson like right away after Reggie having done nothing. Now, at the deadline last year, I was advocating for the buyout candidate because I remember that day, you know, the deadline, people were like, Will Barton, we bring him back. I was like, no, absolutely not. Reggie Jackson, local guy, bring him back. Well, Reggie really didn't do anything. Right, last season whatsoever. But when Jamal went down, he was really valuable. And I think they even played him a little bit more than they wanted to, you know, at least in that condensed of a time period. They kind of burned him out a little. He was dealing with some injuries before the All-Star break. But you're going to need Reggie. So let's go back and look at how the bench performed in the playoffs last year by their series. All right, so Minnesota, Bruce Brown averaged 11-4-2 off the bench. You're not getting that off the bench this year.
No, you're not.
Which is why we just spoke about Michael Porter Jr. having to take on a little bit more of the load, okay? Jeff Green, the next highest bench average for scoring in the Minnesota series, Jeff Green 3.8, Christian Brown 3.4, okay? All right, how about the Phoenix series? Well, Bruce Brown was their third leading scorer in the Phoenix series. He averaged 12-4-2.
Whew.
Then Jeff Green, 4.5, Christian Brown, 2.5.
You're not getting that 12-4-2 either off
the
bench.
Nope. Lakers series. Bruce Brown, sixth leading scorer. They had 6 guys averaging in double figures in the Lakers series. 12-4-3. Really, Christian Brown didn't play much in that Lakers series. Okay?
No.
And now that I go back and look at it, actually, I'm surprised. He only played 20 minutes in that entire. I mean, it was a sweep. So, you know, we had the brooms out for that one. But Bruce Brown, again, 12.3, 4 rebounds and 3 assists. And in the finals, like I said, 11.4, 4.4. You're not getting that type of production. What do you hope to get out of Reggie? Maybe 7-3-2 per game?
That's fair, yeah, that's probably fair.
They're going to have to start getting that out of Reggie a little bit more consistently here down the stretch, which is why I say, hey, tomorrow night in Portland, let's leave Jamal here.
Yeah.
Let's let Reggie build a little bit of rhythm back, because Reggie can be a volume shooter at times, but maybe if he has one of those games where he sees a few go in here and maybe you stack a couple of them, okay, well, now we're down. How many games they have left? 13, something like that?
I'm around there, yeah.
Well, now you're getting down to the home stretch here where we need, and Porter brought it up after the game in the post-game interview, and this was something that you and I spoke about where I told you yesterday, actually, this was, you know, kind of came up organically, that you've got to build up to the playoffs. And you said you disagreed with that, that you think, hey, you were talking about Michael Malone. Can he give his guys a break? Because he knows the playoffs are going to come around and they're going to snap back into form.
And you can trust them in that moment.
Well, Michael Porter Jr. last night in the postgame said, no, 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 it's time to start building things up so we can hit the ground running in playoffs, which I think there's different ways to do it. We saw the Avs in their cup run shut everything down for like 7 games before the playoffs, and then once the playoffs came around, I mean, it was all systems go. Mm-hmm. But I think for this Nuggets team, because of the fatigue factor, because they've got guys banged up, it's important to build the habits back up. And even last night, the Knicks made that a game till the closing minutes.
Yeah, the Knicks made their run, and then it's also the same thing we talked about with Minnesota. The Knicks did it without OG, and they did it without Julius Randle. They're second and third best players on the entire roster. I don't watch a ton of Knicks basketball. Jalen Brunson obviously is a stud. I've had like a mini man crush on Isaiah Hartenstein.
Hartenstein.
Remember when he was a backup here?
Isaiah Hartenstein.
And I'm like, dude, that's a perfect little piece for a Nuggets backup. Now, obviously, starting in New York, so a better opportunity for the kid. But I like the Knicks. I hate saying that, but I kind of like who the Knicks are.
Hartenstein only really played last night because Mitchell Robinson was out, and he's their starting center. But Hartenstein played Jokic hard. And, you know, one thing we probably ought to talk about is now that the NBA has adjusted things to de-emphasize the cheap foul calls, the ticky-tack foul calls.
Guys hunting for the foul.
It is making a real difference in these games.
Sure is.
NBA games in the regular season are becoming much more physical. Like, they have almost overcorrected to a degree, I think. Mm. So, yeah, Jokic is getting hammered even more. Hartenstein beat him up last night. I mean, he put him through the ringer last night. You could tell Jokic at times last night laboring a little with that back. So, yeah, that is a nice piece. Again, backup five is something. DeAndre Jordan played last night for the first time in what felt like months.
I would much rather see DeAndre Jordan on the floor than Zeke Nagy.
Well, Zeke was hurt. That's why he didn't play.
He's still dealing with the stuff, right. But both healthy.
It's a little surprising that DeAndre has not played more if you plan on using him in the playoffs. I know that you want to use him sparingly, but you're telling me you can't give him a couple of minutes consistently to try and build the rhythm back up?
You're going
to
need him against Minnesota in the playoffs.
Yeah, and they've tried to give Zeke a little bit of an extended audition to see if he couldn't earn that because they paid him to do that. And they know that DJ will just step in and be DeAndre Jordan whenever they need him to be. But I'll say we're kind of getting to that stage now where it's time to start revving those engines up.
Yeah, I'm probably with you right there. All right, real quick, we didn't get too much into the Avs, but I want to. Two games this weekend. Tonight, Columbus. Sunday, Pittsburgh.
Sunday, Sidney Crosby's coming to Colorado, and I'm not letting him leave.
That's right, yeah.
Not letting him leave.
Let's go like old school. We'll get a black van and
you
just
ever
take
seen
him out.
Celtic Pride with Dan Aykroyd and Daniel Stern and Damon Wayans, the basketball movie?
I try not to watch anything that says Celtics.
You should watch that movie. That's a classic.
Really?
That is a classic. You see that? Yeah, see, everybody's nodding their head back there. Yeah, they're two Celtics fans that go steal the superstar of the opposing team, which is Damon Wayans, who plays for the Utah Jazz.
Yeah.
Is hysterical. The movie is, and it's Dan Aykroyd. How can you go wrong with Dan Aykroyd? Yeah. I mean, absolutely. So, no, that's what I'm going to do is sit on Sunday. And tonight with Columbus, the Avs have been off. I mean, the Avs have been off. This is the first game back, right? Mm-hmm. So this is a Blue Jackets team that is no good.
They're terrible.
They are terrible. In fact, Avs puck line tonight, it's talking to me.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's talking to me. Well, look, I mean, this is an Avs team that has not lost since they've added the new guys. They're playing harder right now. And they're re-energized by the fact that the front office gave him a chance. I don't know if it's good enough, and I don't know if they think it's good enough yet, but they know they got a shot now, so they're going to go and they're going to give it a run.
Yeah.
And so that's where the engines are headed. And last night, look, individually, we talked about Jokic for MVP. Nikita Kucherov, he's putting some pressure on Nathan MacKinnon there again for the Art Ross Trophy. Another 4-point night last night in San Jose.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Damn.
Yeah, he's got MacKinnon now by 5 points in the points race. And McDavid is right on his heels. He's 5 back. I mean, McDavid can get that in one game. So Nate's got some pressure on him here. But the Avalanche right now are playing their best hockey of the year probably. Considering they just added all these new pieces, it's probably a little bit ahead of where I expected them to be. But I still need to see them develop more consistency throughout the course of their game. We saw some good stuff on that road trip, really important wins. You back-to-backed Vancouver and Edmonton, which are arguably the two best wins of the year.
Yeah.
So, good signs.
Really good
One
signs.
One day at a time with the Avs.
Yeah. Well, and to the point you just made real quick of, we knew they weren't good enough before the trades. Now there's some unknown, but trending in the right direction.
They got a shot.
Obviously take that nine times every day, right?
Well, and here's the thing. The Central Division is a dogfight right now. Mm-hmm. You got Winnipeg at 93 points, Colorado 93, Dallas 93. Colorado is now in a position where they've got a game in hand on Dallas. I'm not sure how that happened, but we knew eventually it would catch up. So it is a dead heat now towards the end of the year. And Bednar addressed it yesterday when he met with the media that he's not going to be trying to empty the tanks going for the one seed, but it's not like they're not trying to win games. Don't fool yourself. They're trying to build their playoff habits too.
All right, it's time for the president of sports debate. Would you vote for Matt? Would you vote for me? We'll campaign for ourselves coming up next.
You're listening to Stokely and Josh on Denver's Sports Station 104.3 The Fan.
It is time to decide who the president of sports is. It's a Friday, so we're going to have some fun. And we need you to participate because you're the voters here. Between Matt Smith and I, before we tell you what we're running on here for president of sports, I got to tell you what you should be doing tonight. You're looking for plans. You want to watch all the games. You want to not miss any action of the madness that happens and take in the Avalanche. Well, why don't you go kick it with Mike Evans, who's going to be at Ameristar Blackhawk tonight from 6 to 8. You can catch all the games on their 29 HD TVs. Ameristar Blackhawk, it's the perfect place to be. You can stay in one of their luxurious suites, dine in at the Timberline Grill, or just hang out at the Sportsbook. That's where Mike will be. They got $5 apps. They're also going to be doing some giveaways up there. Three giveaways to hang out in their luxurious spa suite. So you got to be there on site at Ameristar with Mike Evans from 6 to 8 to enjoy the evening and have a chance at some sweet, sweet prizes. All right. Let's do this, Matt.
All right, so explain what we're doing here.
So I don't even know how it came to be this week, but somehow we started talking about the if there were a president of sports, what kind of rules and things would be changed. And I said, I got a couple of rules I'd like to change. And then you said, I got a couple of rules I'd like to change. Who would be a better president? So we said, let's do a little homework.
It's an election.
And make our pitch here.
After all, it is an election year.
It is, right? So we're just getting you ahead of the curve a bit here.
Josh, am I your VP?
Well, we're going to get to that.
Oh, okay.
We're going to get to that because we're going to pick our VPs as well. I don't know if you've done that yet, but you have some time to think. So I'll give something I'm going to run on, a platform, and we'll react, and then you can give me one of yours. First and foremost, and I did mention this yesterday, the day after the Super Bowl, today and Friday, we have off work. It is mandatory that the companies across this great country give their employees the Monday after the Super Bowl off and the Thursday and Friday, not only in round one, Matt, of the NCAA tournament, but round two of the NCAA tournament as well. Mandatory days off work the day after giant sporting events.
I hear you, Josh.
Okay.
I like the idea to allow the American people some freedoms that they otherwise might not have. However, we are still trying to run a country here. Productivity is important, Josh. What I would say, though, is instead of interrupting our workforce because people still have to make a living, Josh, they have to earn for their families. But what do they need? They need to unwind, my friend. They need to unplug from their stresses and their bosses and their minute tasks that cause them a lot of anguish. When they go home every night, Josh, they need to have no blackout restrictions for local sports teams anywhere. All games will be on basic cable.
Oh!
Basic cable. All access to local teams for everybody. That is my first pledge to you. If you vote for me as your president of sports.
Blackouts are gone. You know what? I can ease off after big events. You say no blackouts for anybody. And another nice play. It's basic cable. It's all available for you right there. All right, number two for me. This kind of goes to folks getting home from work and trying to build a schedule around when a game's going to start. And you got to cook dinner and you got to get the kids ready for school the next day and get them in bed. And you try to build around what's going to happen. If there's a big game on that you want to watch, and then you sit down and you've scrambled to get everything done, and then you're still sitting there for 17 extra minutes. Sports will start on time under Josh Dover as the president of sports. If the game says on your phone it starts at 7, we're tipping off at 7. If the puck drop says it dropping at 6 o'clock, we're dropping at 6 o'clock. None of these ridiculous slides, none of these ridiculous 45-minute waits. Sports will start on time.
Well, my opponent here, while I respect the fact that he wants a punctual sports schedule, think of all the workers, Josh, who slave away to work to get the game environment ready for you. If you out there need an extra 5 minutes, you can have it. And I'll wait patiently because this is a great country. And if you don't want to do your job fast enough to make the game start on time, that's your right as an American. My second idea that I will be running on as a platform. All refereeing and regulating that can be done electronically will be done electronically. It will be immediately tested to be implemented in short order by the end of my term. Robot umps. Okay, chips and footballs, chips and hockey pucks. We're not going to have 10-minute offsides reviews because we've got the technology to know if a puck crosses a line and we're not going to play in the 1950s anymore. You know the chain gang? Get ready for the laser gang. My friends, welcome to the future.
My opponent is taking your jobs, America. My opponent wants you to lose your job.
Sir, don't put words in my mouth, please.
If you're a part of the chain gang, if you're a 75-year-old guy...
I know this isn't my allotted time, but can I interrupt?
All right, number three for me. Now, we all love the emergency backup goalie, right? If the term e-bug is said, sports fans lose their mind. So, Matt Smith, for my third platform, my campaign here for president of sports, the emergency backup goalie, but for quarterbacks. Every NFL team has to have an emergency backup quarterback, and it can't be like Rod Smith is going to be your quarterback. It's like Kevin Kisner has season tickets, and he is the e-bug quarterback. He is the emergency backup
quarterback. My opponent clearly doesn't understand the intricacies of his own platform, so if you don't mind, instead of the e-bug quarterback.
E-bug quarterback.
We know how useful that would be. I am not into spending your tax dollars on something like an e-bug quarterback. That's an unnecessary expenditure. What I am looking for as my third ideal that I'll be running on in my platform, no more uppity arenas. Past the 6-minute mark of the second half in basketball, past the fourth inning of a baseball game, by the 13-minute mark of the second period of a hockey game, every single fan is allowed to move up into whatever seat they want, so long as the original ticket holder does not return from the concourse or the bathroom. They then may find the next available seat. Equality for sports viewership live.
My opponent just had a really good idea. That's a good one. All right, I got a couple I'm going to tie in here, and then we'll let the voters decide, and we'll tell you who wins in our lunch break. A couple of other things I would like to do for the American people and be the president of sports. You want baseball back? You want baseball to be great again the way it once was? I am no longer testing for steroids in professional sports. I am no longer testing for steroids. I want the entertainment factor to be brought back to baseball, and I want it to matter again the way it mattered in the late 1990s. No more testing for steroids.
To the American people, I want to reach across the aisle and embrace my opponent and his supporters, because I will be a president of sports, not for just those of my supporters, but for every American. On this issue, sir, we agree. There will be no more steroid testing in baseball.
Yes!
Do not ask. Do not tell. I'd like to show my supporters that I'm capable of being open-minded and listening to the other side of the aisle. But I'll say this. You haven't thought of everything. I will require at NBA All-Star Weekend that they have a king of the court.
Oh.
And that the top 10 in points per game scorers at that point in the season are all required to participate. We will put $1 million on the line. There will be incentive. And you as the fan, the consumer, the great and proud American. You will be able to watch a skills competition worth your time.
My last platform and thing I'm standing on here as president of sports is a double dip here. Concession stand prices. We see it every year at the Masters. The way Augusta treats their fans to $1.50 soda, $1 hot dog, that should be the standard, my friend. All concession stand prices will reflect how Augusta does it during the Masters. And on my final step, I want to talk to the people of Denver. I want to talk about Nikola Jokic and keeping him here for your entertainment for the next 15 years. My final plan as president of sports is to bring the biggest harness racing horse track to the city of Denver and employ only Serbians to work there so that Nikola Jokic never feels that he has to leave us ever again.
I appreciate the interest in foreign relations. I'm worried that we might alienate our other allies across land and sea. While I agree with you, I'm a president for America, not just for Denver. I'm for Denver as well. So in my closing statements, let me tell you what else, my fellow Americans, that I would do for you. I'm going to eliminate the jump ball and have a maintenance guy go up to the catwalk and just drop it from the top of the arena for every basketball game. I will return Reggie Bush's Heisman Trophy. Whoever wins a hockey fight gets to take a penalty shot. No more mailed-in fights, ladies and gentlemen.
Wow.
Yeah. I will be removing taunting and celebration restrictions in the National No Fun League. I will release all the Last Dance footage. And finally, I will provide accountability for all officials across all sports, and we will get to the bottom of Tony Brothers and Scott Foster and this mess the NBA continues to create and support. And no, friends, we will not stand for it, because this is a free America, a just America, America that deserves to have properly officiated sporting events. I hope I can count on your vote, because I am a president of sports for you.
Who is your president of sports? Vote for Matt, vote for me on the RamosLaw.com text line. We elect a president next.